have a petition for MCEA for commencement of an environmental assessment worksheet. We're ready for oral argument. We understand that respondents are going to split their time with Mr. Von Korf arguing 10 minutes and Mr. Zimmerle arguing 5 minutes. I believe Mr. Zimmerle will go first. Is that the plan? Excellent. Then we would ask counsel for the Minnesota Center for Environmental Advocacy to introduce yourself for the record and begin your argument.
Good morning, Your Honors, and may it please the court. My name is Elise Larson, and I am here representing Protecting Public Waters, a group of citizens who reside both in Renville County and in downstream communities who are concerned with the protection of public water courses. I also represent the Minnesota Center for Environmental Advocacy. Today, Limbo Creek serves the ecosystem, meandering through Renville County, slowing the speed of water before it enters the Minnesota River. Limbo Creek and its wetlands halt high levels of sediment and farm pollution from entering the Minnesota River and slow stream bank erosion that affects downstream communities. The County Ditch 77 project would fundamentally change Limbo Creek's hydrology, forcing the creek to carry more water at a faster rate.
Could I ask you this question? I just want to clear up some facts and make sure that I understand what's going on. Now, this work that's going to be proposed, the work that has been proposed, the claim is by the respondents that this work is only going to involve this private ditch and a non-public, which has been designated as non-public. Is that your understanding of the actual work that's going to be done? It will be with regard to that segment of the waterway?
No, Your Honor, and we have attached a map of the project to our addendum in the brief. So whatever private dredging has happened in the past has not been regulated, and the engineers have not gone out into the field to actually assess what private dredging may or may not have occurred in the past. So we don't concede that there is a private ditch that this is restoring further. This project goes through what they're calling the private ditch, which is through the wetland. It then channelizes more than a mile of Limbo Creek itself in the center of the water course.
Well, so, I just want to understand, is your argument that, because I just want to make this, you know, understand the distinctions that are being made here. Their claim is the actual work will just involve that. I think your claim is, well, it even if it did only involve that, it affects the other public waters, and it changes that area. Is that your claim, or am I misunderstanding it? Are you claiming that the actual work will take place on some of the undisputed public waters?
The work will take place in a public water. The portion of Limbo Creek that they seek to channelize meets the public waters definition that appears.
No, I understand that argument. I just want to understand where this work is going to take place. Is there any dispute that the actual work, regardless of whether it's public or non-public, but it will take place in that segment that we're arguing about as to whether it's public water or not?
There is a dispute as to whether the segment where the work will take place is a public water based on the competing definitions of what a public water means for the purpose of environmental review.
Okay, but involves that segment. The actual work that they're proposing involves that segment. Am I correct?
Yes.
Okay. And while we call it, that's what we're arguing about, is whether it's public or non-public.
Yes, we're arguing whether the 5,500 linear feet of Limbo Creek is a public water based on whether the definition of public waters controls or whether the public waters inventory controls that inquiry.
Correct. Thank you.
There are two issues that we would like to discuss today, Your Honors. The first is the question of whether the Drainage Authority erred when it refused to perform a mandatory EAW for the work for channelizing 5,500 linear feet of Limbo Creek. The second question that we would like to reach today is whether the Drainage Authority improperly dismissed my client's request for a discretionary EAW solely on the basis that our engineers evaluated the current conditions in Limbo Creek, as opposed to some arbitrary point in history.
If we can focus on the first issue client, first issue counsel, which is the mandatory. So I'm trying to understand, the issue surrounds, I think, the effect of the absence of the upper reaches of Limbo Creek on the PWI list, right? And it was not included in the list that was generated then from the district court and then the order of the DNR back in the 80s, right?
The district court did not ever evaluate anything with regard to the upper reach of Limbo Creek.
So it doesn't exist on the PWI list, and I think it was represented as a heavy dash line on the PWI map, right, back
right.
when. Okay. And so my question is what impact that has? I think you argue that, well, this is what I want to find out from you. Are you arguing that the county, the Drainage Authority, had the independent obligation to determine whether that portion of Limbo Creek satisfies the statutory definition of public waters under MEPA, irrespective of any inventory, such that even if, well, that's, I'm trying to understand, for example, if it had been included on the list, the PWI list, is a county free to say, that doesn't matter, that's a PWI, I'm just going to independently determine whether it's a public water, and I conclude that it's not under the statutory definition. What impact do you think the PW list has on drainage authorities?
Respectfully, Your Honor, the impact of the public waters inventory depends on the statute or the rule that you are looking at. In Minnesota, there are two different definitions of public waters. Sometimes the legislature says public waters are public waters that meet the definition.
I'm assuming just for this purpose of whether an EAW is required, which doesn't depend on a PWI list, right? It says public water. And you're saying, look at the statutory definition. And I think you're saying that the Drainage Authority has an independent obligation to make that determination irrespective of what a PWI list says, right?
Correct. And that comes from the fact that the Environmental Quality Board picked the definition of public waters as opposed to a definition that was tied to the PWI. And the court can find that in Minnesota Rule 4410.0200, subpart 69. The Environmental Quality Board defines public waters for the purpose of environmental review as, quote, to have the meaning given in section 103G.005. The definition.
So does that mean... Yeah. So, counsel, does that mean that even with respect to the part of Limbo Creek that is identified on a PWI list as public water, Renville County could in a future case decide, nah, that's not really a public water for EAW purposes, even though it's on a PWI list, even though DNR included it on that list?
They would have to be able to factually support that it did not meet the definition in MnSTAT 103G.005 in order to make that finding. But if there's a hypothetical case where the public waters inventory is inaccurate in the other direction, and you have a statute that is pointing you to the definition, yes, agencies, whether it's the Drainage Authority or the Department of Natural Resources, is required to actually factually analyze whether that creek is protected or not protected under Minnesota law.
So the PWI inventory doesn't, for a future drainage authority case in Renville County, they should just don't need to pay attention to that. They need to disregard it and consider and factually determine whether it satisfies a statutory obligation, is your argument.
When they're faced with a question of whether a mandatory EAW must be performed, then yes, they have an obligation to factually look at whatever the water course is that they're modifying and determine whether a mandatory EAW is required, looking to the definition and not the inventory.
So they could ignore DNR's view that, in fact, something on the list is a public water. If they factually had substantial evidence in the record to show otherwise, they could just ignore DNR's conclusion otherwise. Is that right?
Well, in the circumstance where they're channelizing public water, the drainage authority doesn't have independent authority in a vacuum. The DNR also has permitting authority. And so, like here, the DNR has told the drainage authority that this is a public water and that they're going to be requiring a public waters work permit for this project because it will change the course, current, or cross section of Limbo Creek. And so, environmental review is being decided at the same time. There's sort of these dual agency decisions that are being made, one with regard to approving the project and the other with regard to whether this project requires a public waters work permit. And so is it, you know, possible that there would be a circumstance where you would have a case like this where the drainage authority and the DNR would say, we need to apply the definition, and the public waters inventory inaccurately put a water on the list that doesn't meet the definition? That's possible, but I don't think that this doesn't arise in a vacuum where DNR is not part of this agency decision-making or where DNR is not advising the drainage authority as to its public waters determinations as well.
Well, could we get to that issue? Because, I mean, can we agree that the DNR has the authority to designate waterways is either public or non-public. Am I correct? Or and ditches, I suppose.
I don't believe that that's the respondent's argument, Your Honor. I believe that the respondents have actually challenged the ability of the DNR to make the public waters inventory accurate.
Well, let me ask you this, though, because a lot of the argument of the respondents is in 1985, this was actually litigated as to this very area or this very segment, and that the DNR made the decision that it was not a public waterway, and that decision apparently was approved, or that settlement was approved by the district court and adopted by the district court. Why doesn't that court decision control here, as is argued by the respondents?
Because the respondents can't meet the elements required to show that this is a collateral attack on anything. We are not asking for a modification to the PWI. We are asking for an environmental assessment worksheet to be completed before this project is approved, applying the plain language. Now, the 1985 order itself did not involve the upper reach of Limbo Creek. If you look to the order itself at R1015 at 3, and in fact, if you look at the drainage authority's cutout from that order, you will see that it said it only adjudicated watercourses and watercourse segments that appeared on the list in June of 1980. The Renville County revised list removed the upper reach of Limbo Creek in February of 1980. Thus, the three-judge panel and the district court never adjudicated anything with regard to the upper segment of Limbo Creek. Further, in order to have a collateral attack,
is the upper segment of Limbo Creek involved with the actual work that's being done here?
Yes, this is proposed work in the upper reach of Limbo Creek.
All right, I thought, and maybe I didn't understand your answer. Where does the actual work take place? Is it? I thought you said it was only with regard to that segment, that ditch that had been connecting the CD 77 and Limbo Creek. That was designated as private.
First, Your Honor, there's never been any designation whatsoever for the private dredging that did or did not occur.
Or non-public.
But this project would absolutely go into the channel of Limbo Creek that is in the upper reach, and it would dredge more than a mile of the creek itself. This is not just a question of that short segment in the wetland. This is absolutely about going into the middle of this creek and ditching it out.
All right. Maybe you didn't understand. That was my initial question. So
yeah, I apologize, Your Honor.
All right.
So,
there's no dispute that that upper segment, that those waters are considered public, even under that agreement. Is that what you're telling me?
I'm telling you the district court did not make a decision either way with regard to the upper segment, because the district court only evaluated those segments that were listed in June of 1980, and this segment was not listed or was removed from the list in February of 1980.
Okay. So I think with the argument, may I ask Judge Larkin, I know we're going over, but I think what I understand the argument of the respondents to be is that process was from the 1979 Act, was a comprehensive process that, you know, people could add, that DNR would create a list that could be added to or subtracted from, and then there would be this hearing, and that every water in the county was sort of permanently determined because even if it wasn't on a list, because it could have been added to the list. So its exclusion must mean that it's not a public water. And that was definitively determined without any, and I'll ask opposing counsel about this, without any ability then to be changed now by DNR. And then I think you in response are telling us not only was it not adjudicated then, but it doesn't really, even that fact might not matter because the statutory definition under MEPA is different and the county should look at that MEPA definition. And so court, you don't need to decide whether or not that could be corrected or not. And I guess my question for you, I have problems with both sides. My question for you is, what's the inventory about if not to help identify what the public waters are? And why don't we need to decide if DNR, you know, as the evidence that you put forward showed, is that it was actually a misunderstanding that resulted from it. In its exclusion, that DNR should be able to correct it to correct the inventory. But you're saying you don't need to worry about that. Just look at the statutory definition. And I don't know. I find that a little bit troubling because that whole inventory process was to try and put some understanding around for everyone about what is and is not a public water. Do you see my question?
I do, Your Honor. And the answer is that from the beginning, the inventory was an informational tool, and this court need only look to the Supreme Court's decision in In re Christensen, which explicitly held that the DNR's authority to regulate public waters was not controlled by the inventory, and that neither the 1976 or the 1979 statute actually attached jurisdiction to appearance on the PWI. Therefore, when the PWI was originally created, it was an informational tool for landowners to use, but it didn't exclude DNR from regulating all public waters that meet the definition. Now, since that time, we know that the legislature agrees with that interpretation that the Supreme Court held in Christensen, because the legislature has subsequently, in some statutes, applied the public waters definition in 103G.005, and then in other circumstances, specifically decided to tie a statutory regulation to the public waters inventory. Those changes to legislation have absolutely no meaning if there aren't two different definitions of public waters. One example that we would point the court to is the buffer law itself in 103, I believe, F.48. In 2015, the legislature originally adopted the buffer law with the 103 G.005.
I think I understand this. So my question is answered. I think I don't want to impose too much on your time.
Okay. I apologize, Your Honor. If there are no further questions.
All right. Thank you. We will now hear from Mr. Zimmerle, correct?
Correct, Your Honor. Thank you. And may it please the court, counsel. My name is Dean Zimmerle, and I represent the respondent project petitioners in this appeal. Now, the project petitioners are owners and landowners, farmers in the CD 77 watershed whose land has historically been drained by CD 77 and would be if it were able to function right now. Historically, that's used a private section of private ditch and a section of what is now considered Limbo Creek, previously channelized portions of that as the outlet.
Can I stop you? I just want to make sure, because I want to make sure we're arguing off the same set of facts. Is it correct that the work that will take place here involves that private ditch, number one, and number two also involves the upstream? It'll also involve the upstream limbo.
And I wanted to clarify that. And yes, it involves this private ditch, and it also involves a section of Limbo Creek, everything that's upstream of County State Aid Highway 10.
Now, all right. So is it about a mile of the creek?
It's about a mile indicated? Of the creek.
All right. So I think, just so I know that we're working with the same facts.
And just for a piece of clarification, the public waters inventory, what is shown as public waters, is only stuff downstream of the highway and downstream of the project. So,
well, let me ask you this: if the work's including that upstream portion, I mean, isn't that upstream portion been designated as a public waters?
No, and that's the point. The downstream portion, up to the middle of, I think, section 22, has been designated as public waters. And everything above that, everything upstream of that, has been designated not public waters. And just for a bit of another bit of clarification, when the very first preliminary inventory list came out, it included the entirety of Limbo Creek. From there to Rossanand Slough up in, it's the next township to the north, and I forget the name of it. But in any event, it was this entire stretch. And then through this PWI process, it was determined to remove that upper stretch. So through this process and through this determination, it was determined not to be. And the point here, I think, that we need to remember is, what Christensen tells us is that the purpose of this PWI process that the legislature set up is to avoid exactly what we're doing today. Extended litigation and uncertainty about whether waters are or aren't public waters. They said, let's get a comprehensive list that's reliable for everyone to rely on, that people can look at and determine, is this wetland, a protected wetland? Is this intermittent stream? Is this private ditch? You know, we're not talking about the Minnesota River where everybody just knows.
Thank you, Council. If I can ask just some more framing questions. I think we can leave aside, as I understand it, but tell me if I'm wrong, the private public ditch issue. What we're talking about is the upper reach of Limbo Creek, which is not designated as a public water on the PWI list. And I think the relators are arguing it is nevertheless a public water under the definition of MEPA. So if we looked at the MEPA definition of, or the definition of public waters that set issue, which is a natural and altered water course with a total drainage area greater than 2 square miles. I think that's the definition in subpart 15, right? 9?
Yeah.
Okay. Apart from the inventory, let's pretend that 1979 law never existed, okay, and there's never any inventory, anything. Just looking at that definition, are there any facts in the record that would tell us that this is anything other than a natural or altered water course with a total drainage area greater than 2 square miles?
I think there is. The engineers look at the area just north of the confluence of this private ditch and Limbo Creek, and they tell us, you know, basically it doesn't have defined banks. We can tell that you had to have a private channelization through here, unnatural channelization through here, in order to, in order to convey the water that would have been conveyed by CD77. So we know it must have been channelized from the get-go. We know that without the channelization, there's no defined banks.
Was there any factual finding, and I know we're going over for a second, by the drainage authority that is the case, that this is not an altered, that the reach above, the upper reaches, which are the subject of the dispute, is not just actually a pre-existing sort of stream, but it's actually artificial water course? Is there a finding to that effect?
I don't think that there's a specific finding to the effect that it's an artificial water course.
Okay.
I mean, the finding relied on the public waters designation.
Okay, thank you.
So with that, I'll turn it over to the county for their comments. Thank you.
Oh, counsel, you'll need to unmute yourself.
I'd like to take on, and thank you.
And counsel, would you identify yourself for the record as well?
Thank
you.
Gerald Von Korff, attorney for Renville County. I'd like to take on the contention that is made here and in the reply brief that MEPA's public waters definition, since it refers to the statutory definition of public waters, that we have to, Renville County has to make an ad hoc determination as to whether this is public waters. What's missing from that argument is that the definition of public waters that was used in conducting the inventory is identical to the definition of public waters that appellant says needs to be applied to this case. The reason that it's not just because it's on the public waters inventory and magically we need to apply that to MEPA. The determination that was made was a determination that the upper segment does not meet the definition of the public waters, the same definition that appellant wants us to use. There aren't two definitions.
But when we look, counsel, at, I think the argument is that there was not actually an exploration of whether the upper reaches factually one way or the other satisfied the definition, because it wasn't on the list of the waters that was subject to the review. And it says, for example, in a district court's order, the following water courses and segments of water courses are public waters. All other water courses and segments of water courses listed for hearing before the hearing unit are not public waters. And I think the argument there is, well, this wasn't listed one way or the other, so it didn't make a determination about it.
Limble Creek was listed for hearing. In first place,
The section that we're interested in was listed for hearing.
What was listed was the designation list. The entire process from 1979 all the way down to 1985 placed all of the waters at issue. And as Mr. Zimley pointed out, the first designation listed the upstream. The second and third and final designations did not. And those non-designations became final. So that's one piece of the reason that...
Help me understand when it said listed for hearing. What would we look at to understand your argument that the upper reaches of Limbo Creek, which are at issue here, were in fact listed for hearing?
So I think Christensen says this best. It says that the designation process was designed to determine which resources were public waters, wetlands, or neither. The purpose of the inventory was not just to make a list of some public waters and then there might be a whole bunch more. The decision of the inventory was to make a comprehensive inventory of all public waters and necessarily what was not designated as not public waters.
So your argument is not, if I wanted to say, okay, where do I look to see the ones that were actually listed for hearing? You're saying in effect, all waters in Renville County were quote listed for hearing because that's what the project was about. Is that what you mean?
Limber Creek certainly was. And the designation process needs to determine what the endpoints of the public water is. And the process required a designation of the section, township, and range where public waters were, and it was purposely done to limit the reach of Limbo Creek to those downstream sections.
So what do we do with the fact that DNR is saying, I mean, if you look at the information that was provided, that the upper reaches were wrongly identified, or there was a heavily dashed line that had a dual designation of a public water and a ditch because they thought it was CV 145. That was never built, but that ended up being then a mistake. There were mistakes in excluding heavily dashed lines entirely, I think, from the list of public waters, and DNR is saying that was a mistake, and then we have that other case that sort of explains that in that unpublished decision, that they need to determine which ones are public waters. And in fact, DNR says, this was a public water, it's always a public water, its exclusion was a mistake, and they inform the county of that.
First of all, the DNR, Your Honor, has not found that this is public waters using its error correction authority. What they have done is issued a letter saying that they intend to look at whether it is, and they've opened it for comment.
So they intended listed. Didn't they tell you in September that it was a public water?
They can't do that. There's no process where a staff member of the DNR can come to a hearing because MCEA has urged that they do that and announce summarily that somewhere down the line they are going to try to change. They have chosen to create a notice and comment procedure to consider the change, an error. When they issued that notice and comment, they forgot, they did not even consider that a judgment was existed that only came out through a data process request. The process that they've chosen involves no hearing, no evidence, just notice and comment. And
is there a requirement for and I know these are separate questions, but is the DNR saying that you need to have, there needs to be a permit because these are public waters?
If it's public waters, DNR would require a permit.
And was that required in that September? I might have the date wrong, but I thought there was a September letter requiring that.
They issued two letters. When the farmers were making a decision to invest in this project, a preliminary hearing was held, and DNR applied the public water inventory exactly, word for word, and told the landowners that they didn't need a permit because of the public waters inventory finding, and that they could go ahead, and as long as they kept the project confined to the segment upstream of the public waters, they needed no permit. They've spent a ton of money.
Right, but I'm getting to the later letter.
So then they sent another letter after MCA asked them to, saying that they would like to consider making a change. There are 561.
Has there been any letter from DNR saying that a permit is required? I guess that's my question.
If it's public waters.
Okay, so at this point, did DNR not inform the drainage authority? I guess is the drainage authority not pursuing a permit then? I mean, I don't know if that's in the record, what's happening relative to the permit.
No permit has been applied for. No permit need be applied for. They haven't finished a proceeding, and it's somewhat audacious as the notice and comment procedure is going on, which they invented without rulemaking and without authority to do it that way, to say, we've got your comments, but we've already made up our mind, but we're not going to put it in writing. That's kind of where we are.
You're not saying that the DNR can't look at these waterways and decide that it made a mistake and that these are these waterways under these circumstances as they exist today, they are public.
We're saying that the statute does not give them authority to change the inventory list in the way that they are doing. The statute solely gives them authority to change the map in compliance with the list where the map is erroneous.
See, the problem with that argument, though, is that the statute says the commissioner may revise the public waters inventory map of each county as needed to correct errors in the original inventory, not to comply with the original inventory, but to correct errors. And it is kind of weird. I mean, I agree. The statute starts with that the inventory commissioner shall maintain a public waters inventory map, and it requires them to contain to do the mapping. But it does say to correct errors in the original inventory, not to correct errors in the map to conform with the inventory.
I don't think it is conceivable that the legislature thought that a process that ended in a judgment and a considered decision, that process was an error. The placement of the ditch on the map, that may have been an error because it was left on there 3 years afterwards, but because the map is inconsistent with the list. But be as that as may, the drainage authority is conducting a quasi-judicial proceeding. They have to apply the law and facts to that proceeding. The petitioners have right in that proceeding. And currently, the inventory has not been changed. It represents an adjudication that the only public waters portion is downstream of the project.
Well, can I ask you, I mean, I understand you're making the argument now that there's a very narrow standard of review for this court. I mean, there's no dispute that the DNR has some control over public waterways. Am I correct? And there's no dispute that the DNR has the responsibility when you're engaged in these kind of projects to make sure that it's done according to the law, right? I mean, it's
yes,
but they're wrong. So. Here's my question. I mean, the DNR, as early as June 11, 2019, asked the county board not to take any action, but nonetheless, and then they sent another letter that said they're opening up for public comment and notice. So the board was well aware that the DNR was reassessing whether it had made the appropriate decision earlier. And in fact, on September 22, 2020, the DNR says, we've determined that it is a public water and that we're adding it to the PWI list. In light of those notices from the DNR, is the appellant correct that this was arbitrary and capricious for the board to rush into this after getting that determination and even at the time the public hearing is this arbitrary and capricious under these circumstances? And if not, why not?
Respectfully, I do not agree that the DNR has made a determination. The letter that the DNR sent is a letter suggesting that they might make a determination, but these landowners have been waiting their drainage system has been plugged. You know, the drainage system for urban people is like a storm sewer. And the storm sewer has become clogged, and the landowners applied to fix that under the legal regimen that existed in 2016. And that legal regimen was confirmed in 2017. And what's being proposed here is that someone in the department can send a letter saying we might determine this in the future, but you can't appeal that because this is just a letter. And basically, they're treating this like informal, statutorily unauthorized zoning moratorium that lasts as long as they want to sit on it. But at this point, the law that has been applied here is the law that existed at the time of the petition and at the time of the order. At some point, these landowners deserve to stop being flooded. I've lost track of the...
I think we're well past time, and I think at this point we will return to appellant's counsel for rebuttal.
Thank you, Your Honors. I'd like to make a few brief points and a few clarifications. To be clear, if this court were to adopt the respondent's PWI take-all approach, it would fundamentally alter Minnesota's water law. For four decades, the DNR has been regulating public waters that factually meet the definition where statutes and rules tell them to do so. And to now say that only the public waters inventory applies would completely change this regime. I think that the court has gleaned on to the fact that the drainage authority really wants to have it both ways. What the drainage authority wants to have is the definition have no meaning whatsoever, while at the same time say that the DNR has no authority whatsoever to ever modify the public waters inventory list as it was created in the 80s, before we had GIS, before we had satellite imagery, before we had any of the technology today that might help us to ensure that the map and the list themselves are accurate. Contrary to Mr. Zimmerle's assertions, the record is replete with evidence that Limbo Creek has the definable beds and banks that are required to show that it is a public water course. I would point the court first to the final engineering report, which was approved subsequent to this decision and is in the record. The final engineering report states, I believe at page 3, that Limbo Creek is an altered and natural water course. The Drainage Authority's final engineering report also is where we get the size of the watershed, which is 14.5 square miles. That meets the definition. And the engineers repeat that over and over again. Record 2010, record 2012, record 2015, record 3001. All citations of the county's own engineers stating that this is an altered natural water course. There is simply no evidence in the record to show that this is somehow artificial. And to be clear, the DNR agrees with this analysis. The DNR informed the Drainage Authority in August of 2020 that Limbo Creek met the public waters definition and that it would continue to regulate it as a public water. That is record site 4029. Then in September, they informed the Drainage Authority that Limbo Creek meets the public waters definition and that it still met those criteria today. And quote, as such, this project is subject to and must comply with Minnesota statute section 103G.245, which is the public waters work permit statute. DNR then showed up at the hearing, testified that Limbo Creek met the public waters definition and that DNR would regulate it as a public water. And when the Drainage Authority refused to listen to the DNR at that hearing, they sent another letter, which appears at record site 4006, where they stated to the Drainage Authority both that this project will require a public waters work permit, that it does not fit into any public waters exception, and that a mandatory EAW is required, applying the plain language of the rules to the facts at issue here.
Can I go to the 1985 order again? Because the argument is that all of Limbo Creek was included initially as part of the consideration, but yet as part of the settlement that was adopted by the court, the upstream portion was left off the PWI list. Therefore, the assumption is that it is not a public, according to the language of that order adopting that agreement, it's not part of the, it's not included as part of the public waters. Why isn't that legal? I mean, that court determined adoption or the court adoption of that agreement controlling here, notwithstanding all the other arguments that you've made very well, by the way. Why wouldn't that control? Is that correct? I mean, I want to make sure my understanding of that agreement is correct, as stated by the respondents, in terms of what's in and what's out.
We disagree that that is the agreement that was reached. We think that the order and the three-judge panel decision stands for what it says, which is they were adjudicating the water courses that were on the list in June of 1980. And that the district court never at any time had in front of it the facts with regard to the upper reach of Limbo Creek. No facts were ever presented to the district court on that stretch.
I think I saw it just said Limbo Creek was being considered. I mean, then wouldn't that include the upper reaches necessarily if it just is Limbo Creek generically?
No, Your Honor. So if you look at the list from June of 1980, it has, as Mr. Von Korff was discussing, the township range and section numbers. And the township range and section numbers is only the segment that currently appears as a solid line on the public waters inventory map. That is what was listed in June of 1980. And everything above that was not on the list if you're looking at the township range section numbers for the segment.
Okay. So you don't think that order affects this one way or another just by virtue of the contents of the order?
Well, not, I mean, first the plain language controls, but frankly, Your Honor, collateral attack has four prongs. Mr. Von Korff and Mr. Zimmerly want to focus on the final judgment, but they also need to, in order to show a collateral attack, you also have to be able to show that it involved the same facts. You have to show that it involved the same parties, and you have to be able to show that relators had an opportunity in that 1985 action to litigate their claims. And just to remind the court, the claim here is that environmental review needs to occur before this project occurs, not whether Limbo Creek should appear on the inventory or not.
Any additional questions from the panel members? Okay. We'll cut it off at this point. I'm glad we took some extra time. Important issues, a little bit complicated facts. So thank you for the briefing and for answering our questions this morning. That concludes the hearing. You'll have our decision within 90 days.